This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas. Here's Matt Perrault.
All right, let's continue the NFL conversation. Let's go to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. SB Nation's NFL writer Adam Stites joining us here on Pushing the Odds. Adam, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for the time. Let's start with the Colin Kaepernick story. And, you know, Kaepernick is still without a job. He was going to work out with the Seahawks. They asked him a question about his future and what he'll do from an activist standpoint. He didn't have an answer. Do you feel like he didn't answer because of the court case that he has against the NFL, or that he really doesn't know right now what he'll do in 2018 if he gets a job?
I think the question is, it's tough to know exactly what that conversation looked like. I think he probably knows whether or not he's going to kneel. I can't imagine that's a mystery. I think it's probably, maybe outside of that, what other things does he have planned? Does he plan to maybe drop that collusion case if he does get signed? I think those are probably the parts where he doesn't really have an answer yet. And so, yeah, I think he probably legitimately doesn't have an answer, but I don't know that he should have an answer. I don't think that should matter as much as just his ability to bring, an upgrade to the Seahawks.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And that's why I feel like it's almost sinister that the Seahawks were there right in the middle of the deposition for Paul Allen, their owner, where they're talking to Kaepernick and he's having to go and talk to the NFL under oath about the collusion case against the NFL. And I don't blame Kaepernick for not answering. I know it's been kind of an underreported part of the story, but I think it's beyond just, I don't know what I'm going to do. There's legal implications to an answer to that question, isn't there?
Yeah, of course. If he gets signed, it pretty much kills his case that he's being colluded against because he's got a job. So, whether or not he drops that case or if he continues to pursue legal action against the NFL is impacted by the Seahawks' decision. So, it's a delicate situation for sure.
Adam, we are 2 weeks away, or a little less than now, to the NFL draft, and I'm fascinated by the opinions about these quarterbacks. And look, I know you're not a quarterback evaluator like some of these guys are. I mean, we have a guy named Dan Shonka who worked for Our Lads, a longtime NFL scout, and a guy who scouted for teams for years and now does it from a media perspective. And he's been calling out Josh Allen, and he's been calling out Sam Darnold as being guys who should not be taken highly in this draft, not number one, not in the top 10 even. And yet it looks like either Allen or Darnold will wind up going number one to the Cleveland Browns. Do you feel like this quarterback class is being overhyped, or do you feel like there's some real talent in this draft from a quarterback perspective?
I think the class as a whole is a great class. I think it's one of those classes that is going to make a big impact. You don't see a class come around where you see five guys who are going to go in the first round, maybe six. That's pretty rare. But I will completely agree with the very top of this class is shaky at best. Josh Allen is a weird prospect to be talked about going number one just because he just hasn't been good at football, period. The idea with taking him is that his days of playing good football are still ahead of him. He's got the size, the athleticism, the arm strength. He's got all the tools, but he just has not even come close to putting that together yet. At least Darnold I can understand because at the moment there are times where he looks truly special, especially when it gets chaotic, when he's got rushers coming to him and he's navigating the pocket and throwing on the move. You can go, okay, I see the number one potential there, but Josh Allen, it just has never been there. If it were up to me, I would have Josh Rosen and Baker Mayfield ahead of both of those guys.
Huh. Yeah, Dan Shonka would agree with you. He said the same thing to us yesterday. He has Baker Mayfield as the number one quarterback in this draft, and he thinks that Saquon Barkley should go number one overall. He says forget about the running back position. Just take a guy who is a transformational football player and can play not just running back but in the slot. He sees him as being a 25-touch-per-game guy on the next level. How do you look at Barkley's prospects on the next level?
Yeah, I think that's 100% right. He's not just a guy that you just plug right in the middle and then just run straight ahead with. He can do so much. You can use him in the passing game. He even returned kicks. I can't imagine the they'll want him doing that in the NFL. He'll be too valuable, but it speaks to his versatility. You know, one of the things that Mike Mayock was saying at the combine that I thought was pretty interesting was that, you know, when you draft a running back, it doesn't just improve your running game. Your offensive line gets better because they're able to, you know, just put their head down and run block more often. Your quarterback plays better because he's got a better play action game. Your defense plays better because they're on the field less. So, you know, taking a running back at the top has resulted in really quick turnarounds. It worked for the Jaguars last year. It worked for the Cowboys the year before that. So, it impacts your entire team. And so, yeah, I can definitely get behind taking him early. I don't know that I'd take him number one. I think that the Browns definitely need to address quarterback. I think there's better ways to do it than Josh Allen, but I would take a quarterback number one, but I'm 100% behind Saquon going early.
Adam, it seems, at least to me, that the entire NFL draft is going to hinge on the number two selection that the Giants do or do not take. If they trade it, Buffalo goes and gets a quarterback. That sets some other things in motion, say for the New York Jets, maybe even for the Denver Broncos. If the guy that they want winds up getting taken off the board by somebody who comes up to New York or comes up to number six with the Indianapolis Colts. But if you're the Giants, do you draft Saquon Barkley, or do you take a quarterback there? And if you don't take Barkley and you're the Browns and they're at number four, do you think that's where Barkley winds up going, where Cleveland gets their quarterback and they get their running back at 1-4?
Yeah, I think you're 100% right that it kind of hinges on the Giants. I think the Giants probably take either take a quarterback or they trade it to a team that wants to take a quarterback. The value there is just so high that if they choose not to pick a quarterback, the amount of picks, the amount of future draft capital that they'll be able to get in the haul with, you know, maybe Buffalo wants to come up, maybe Denver wants to get higher up and take, there's Miami. There's a lot of teams that will want that number two pick. And, you know, if they don't want a quarterback, I don't know that you pass all that up for a running back. So, I think the Browns are in great shape to probably get Barkley at number four if they just sit tight.
Adam Stites, SB Nation, joining us. Did you think there's the potential for a Aaron Rodgers-type moment for one of these quarterbacks where we think they're going in the top 10 and they're not? Like, I've seen projections that if Josh Allen does not go number one, say the Browns take Sam Darnold, and then, you know, Rosen winds up going number three, if the Giants were to go ahead and take Chubbs out of Georgia and go defense at number two, the Jets take Rosen at number three, there's the potential for potentially Josh Allen to fall. Could you foresee that happening where we're looking at, you know, him at 16, 17 even, getting out of the top 15?
It seems to happen with somebody every single year, so I wouldn't rule it out. The thing I think that helps this group of quarterbacks is that there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks right up at the very top. And so, you know, if it's not the Browns, the Giants or the Jets, there's also the Broncos, there's also the Dolphins, the Bills, you know. So any player dropping further than 12 would be pretty surprising. And then there's the Cardinals right there just a few picks later. So I don't think we're going to see anybody, you know, Geno Smith fall all the way to the second round kind of situations. But, I could see one of those guys surprisingly falling out of the top five after getting mocked there for months.
What do you make of the Tom Brady Instagram post when a talent evaluator was talking about the fact the Patriots saw what happened last year with the Texans and how good Deshaun Watson was and what he did to the Patriots' defense, that Lamar Jackson might be the target for the Patriots at some point during the draft, and Tom Brady writing he's a beast on Instagram? Is that just a smokescreen, or do you think the Patriots really are interested in the Louisville quarterback?
It wouldn't surprise me if the Patriots were interested, but generally speaking, the Patriots keep that all under wraps. They're really good at not revealing their plans. So when everybody is kind of saying, you know, is this the guy? Is this the guy? It makes me think it's probably not, just because that's just not how they ever operate. But they do need a quarterback, and I think Bill Belichick knows better than to wait until the later rounds and just hope he finds another, you know, another Brady. Garoppolo was a second round pick, but you know, even at that time, you know, Brady was still in his mid 30s or mid to late 30s. But yeah, so I think they're going to try to address it early. If Lamar's there, I think they take him, but I would be a little bit surprised if that's actually the plan.
One thing that did strike me about Brady politicking kind of publicly for this is, in my mind, Jackson's the perfect quarterback to be behind Brady because he's at least 2 to 3 years away. And so Brady could come in and say, I'm playing for 3 more years. I know for a fact this guy's not ready for a long time. Josh can train him like he did Garoppolo for 3 years. I can even help out. And then I know I'm not being pushed. If the Patriots went up and got, say, a Baker Mayfield, the Patriots might look to want to play him sooner rather than later, taking him maybe with a top 15 pick. So could you see Brady kind of playing some politics there, saying, go ahead, take this guy, because I know I don't have to worry about him?
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. They're not going to go after a guy who's going to start right away, and so I think that's probably the Baker Mayfields, maybe the Josh Rosens of the group. So, yeah, go after the guy who has – huge potential, but it's going to take some time. I don't think there's not going to be any Patriots fans calling for you know, Tom Brady to be benched as soon as you know, he throws an interception. I think he's got plenty of time regardless, but that's the situation where they can really go after the huge potential and take their time with it.
Well, Adam, don't underestimate the Boston sports radio media. they've said crazier things before than benching Tom Brady. So it's happened before. Adam, great stuff, and thanks for the time today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's Adam Stites, SB Nation NFL writer, joining us on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Seriously, don't put it past the Boston sports talk media for those comments. I mean, remember, this was a time when Brady was being called for to be benched for Garoppolo, and that losing Garoppolo would be a detrimental, catastrophic loss for the Patriots. That is yet to be determined. Everyone's saying Jimmy Garoppolo is the next coming of Brady. We got a ways to go there before I'm going to go ahead and say that. I like Garoppolo. I don't think they got enough for him. I'll give you that. A second-round pick, not enough. But the Patriots really had to do something because they were not going to get anything for Jimmy Garoppolo but a compensatory draft pick, which would have been between round 3 and 4. We got a lot more to come. It's a busy Friday. It's Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio.